and welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, talking as always with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello, Ed.
If it's Sunday, it must be SU and Higher Ed.
You know, the interesting thing is, though, not everybody necessarily listens on a Sunday.
But we're here.
We're here, yes.
Don't we get credit? Partial credit?
We get partial credit.
David's here, our producer.
Partial credit. Yes, David Alvarez is our very patient engineer.
He's pretty cranky today. So Sundays apparently make him cranky. Oh, there, he looked up. I just wanted to see if he'd look up at us.
He looked up. He looked up.
That's the fourth wall. We're not supposed to actually acknowledge the fact that we have...
Well, goodness knows we cannot do this technologically ourselves.
I can't.
Well, Ed, what I want to talk about, you know, we are in the throes of summer... The heat of summer. We're here in Texas. There's no mistaking it's summer. You know, I think for students, and I certainly remember this as a student, all I wanted to do at the end of the school year was leave all of that behind. Literally, you know, we had all textbooks back then because there was no internet. So I didn't want to think about my books. I didn't want to crack a book. I didn't want to think about a paper. I just wanted to literally turn everything off as far as school went.
Yeah, and I was the same way. That's a very antiquated mindset today. I don't mean to interrupt you on your question, but let me just say that it's interesting how many, many more students today than in our day actually want to take summer classes because, again, they're trying to get through something versus having this intellectual journey. And so a lot of students will actually continue over the summer and go right through, which is interesting. I never did that. You never have either.
Yeah, that is interesting.
But I think the body and the mind need a little time to kind of take a break. And if you're doing this kind of mindful education that we're all promoting, the idea of engaging in practices of the mind, it's like a sponge. You need some time just to absorb what you just went through and let your body heal.
So is that the best use then of the summer semester to maybe not be quite so adamant as I was to run away from it, but to just... you know, take a break, take a deep breath, and, you know, maybe not focus so much on continuing formal education in the summer? Or do students need to keep their mind sharp? You know, you hear parents and teachers sometimes worried about what students lose over the summer and they come back in the fall and they've
right.
got to, you know,
start
cover some
again.
Stuff. Right. Is that a legitimate concern?
Well, first of all, what is best? That's a personal opinion, and that just involves what your definition of education is. If you are trying to get a credential, then the faster you can go through it, the more affordable it becomes. And so there are real issues here. So I can't say what's best. I will say that from the point of view of impactful learning, where we're trying to invite an individual to become her or his best self, and we're trying to offer an education such as at Southwestern University, where it really is about forming one's mind and one's practices of thinking and modes of analysis and creativity, I think that there is something to be said for taking it's like when you exercise with a muscle. You do weights and then you take a day off to let those muscles basically heal. I think that taking time off and letting the muscle of your brain heal and be reflective is valuable. I'm not going to say it's better or worse because that's a subjective thing. But I think there's value if that is how you're defining your education. If you're defining your education as the diploma, then the faster the better.
It's interesting, though, you said be reflective, which to me still implies and describes some active engagement of the mind and maybe, you know, going back over what you explored that year, maybe, you know, doing some reading or doing some less formal education. So it doesn't necessarily mean, it still means staying engaged.
Absolutely. And well, you have to live your life, you have to live an engaged life. And so absolutely, you should be thinking about, but are you academically involved? I would say maybe there's less of an academic requirement to do this as more of a reflective, you know, what was the point of that poetry class? What was the point of that anthropology class? You know, what did I learn from that communication studies class? What did I learn from that art history class? And try to create your own narrative. The truth is, everyone will learn something different from a course. So 30 people or 20 people, you know, Southwestern, like 15 people taking a class at once, they're all going to have 15 different experiences, even though they've all experienced the same input as intellectual stimulation. The output and what that means is up to the individual, right? And so it's like I always say to students when I'm talking to them, that your professor is not who has to be thought-provoking. You have to provoke your own thought. So what thought is provoked by the intellectual and creative stimulation that you had over an entire academic year? A summer is a wonderful time to go away and reflect and say, you know what? Boy, I see this connecting to that in a way I never saw before. Or I see that I'm connected with this subject more than I would have guessed, or this has a greater meaning to me now than it did before. That kind of difference, measuring that difference, is what education should be about.
Well, and sometimes it does seem like that stepping back, literally and figuratively, I guess with the summer, it's literally, is helpful.
Absolutely.
You know, you said sort of to see how things connect. Sometimes it's hard to see those connections when you're in the middle of it and it's all happening and you literally need the time and space to be able to think about it, get a little distance, think about it a little differently, and then go, oh, wait a minute. Yeah. Wait, we studied that in anthropology, but then that also, he actually mentioned that in math. And then when I was taking French, there it was again.
And there you are engineering your own creativity and your own imagination.
So I have to say that the time that I've had to reflect on that puzzler from the last episode, sort of like our little break between episodes, it has not so far helped me
I see.
Synthesize.
What I'm trying to say is
I don't know the answer to the puzzler.
Well, you probably didn't have enough time to think about it. Let me remind everyone what that puzzler was. It was an arithmetical puzzler.
Yes.
It was funny. We were talking about arithmetic and math.
Yes.
So that was just kind of a happy coincidence. The question is, what three positive numbers give the same result when multiplied and when added together? So what three positive numbers, when you add them all together, produces the same sum as if you take their collective product?
Okay, so a couple of thoughts I had.
Go ahead.
So whole numbers, they have to be whole numbers.
I didn't suggest that.
Okay.
So if you have fractional number, if you have fractions, that's fine.
And then the other question is, this is so interesting. You know how I was approaching this? That it had to be the same number.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, last time you did say 1, 1, 1.
Right. 0, 0. So for some reason, I created a rule that now hearing you say it again, I think was not actually in the instructions, which
three
was
positive
that
numbers.
You just said three positive numbers, but
they could
not
be the same. But they could
it
be.
Could be, but could not be.
Correct. Now,
well, no wonder this was a little challenging.
Well, but also I liked when we were talking about the 1, 1, 1, when you add them up, you get 3. But if you start thinking about it, if the numbers get too big, then the multiplier effect, multiplication amplifies, if the numbers are big, faster than addition. So if the numbers are really, really big, like think about it, a million, a billion, and a trillion. If you add those up, it's basically just about a trillion. But if you multiply them, you're going to be orders of magnitude larger. So that tells you that the numbers have to be small.
Uh-huh.
And so you started with 1, and so that's a good place to start.
And then we knew that one wouldn't work.
Well, but it could be one of our numbers, so we started with 1.
It could be 1, uh-huh.
And then what would be the next smallest number you can think of?
1.1.
No, whole number.
Whole number. Oh, yeah. 2.
Okay, and then what would be the next number after that?
3.
Okay, so now what happens when you add them all up?
Well, you get 6 if you add them all up.
And what if you multiply them all together?
You get 6.
So thinking small. So let me
yes.
just, but let me just say kind of the mindset to crack this one open, which is to look at extremes, which we talked about, fail.
Uh-huh.
So what if they're really, really big? And you realize, well, they can't be big because multiplication takes over, amplifies much greater than addition. So they have to be small numbers. And then you go back and say, okay, so what's the smallest numbers that I know? I didn't say whole numbers, but you can start with the simplest numbers, which are whole numbers. 1, 2, 3, bang, that works.
Mm-hmm. And it becomes clear pretty quickly that actually fractions and decimal, that tenths of numbers aren't the way to go either. Because when you multiply it's not going to work. So even trying one of those, it was clear, no, that's not going to work either.
There you have it. So by experimenting and doing something where you even intentionally know it's not right, you can build an insight and you can understand simple things deeply.
This is also interesting because I learned another lesson, which is listen closely to the guidelines of the puzzler.
Well, active listening is one of the things that should be taught as part of one's impactful education. To actively engage, and the way you do that is by asking lots of questions, which of course is what you do for a living, but other people should do that as well. That, you know, even over the summer, that's a practice you can offer yourself, which is, I really want to actively listen and actively engage and ask lots of questions. That's a great way to kind of keep your mind sharp.
Yeah, I think just to wrap up here, yeah, that's a great thing that students can do over the summer is, you know, another way to stay reflective and engaged is to share what you've learned. You know, your family's not in the classroom with you. You know, you can text them and call them every day, but they don't have that experience. So, you know, tell them a little bit about what you're doing.
Take one interesting idea that you found thought-provoking and share it and really have a real engaged conversation. Maybe even have a kind of a shared reading, not a whole necessarily a whole big text or whatever, but just, you know, read this, tell me what you think about it, and almost have that conversation that happened in your classroom, have it, you know, around your table with your family or friends. It could be really impactful, and it allows you to practice the habit of being an active listener and actively engaged with your mind.
Well, Ed, thank you for sitting around our table here at KUT and for helping us keep our brain sharp. Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. You can find out more at southwestern.edu. And you can keep your brain busy by keeping up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at KUT.org and on iTunes. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT News.